Yeah, you're talking too slow. All right, John Talton's here. A lot of our economic identity in Northwest is rested on aerospace, software, timber, coffee, and maritime. Seattle Times economics columnist and author John Talton says the maritime industry too often gets overlooked. You wrote about that in your Sunday column, yeah?
I did. We take it for granted at our peril. The maritime industry is not something that is gone or going away or something from a century ago. This is an industry that supports about 140,000 jobs in Washington State, and it covers this huge gamut from the ports to the cruise ships to boat architects, builders, repair, the fishing fleet, freight logistics, rail, on and on.
140,000 jobs? Is that first and second tier, sort of like support jobs too?
Yes, and the average wage is $70,000 a year. Not bad in this economy.
No. And when you talk about the Northwest, you're talking about Tacoma, you're talking about Seattle. Are you talking about Vancouver?
Sure. Vancouver, Washington. Uh-huh. I'm basing a lot of this on an economic impact study that was done for the state, and it looks strictly at the state. Now, Vancouver, B.C. is a competitor and a formidable one.
Yeah. Well, doesn't Tacoma and Vancouver, don't they see themselves as competitors too, to Seattle?
Well, Tacoma does, but the ports of Tacoma and Seattle are trying to at least begin talking. In a previous column, I likened it to a buddy cop film where the two protagonists really don't like each other, but they've got to work together in order to get payback, and they get along at the end. We're not at the end.
Well, I was going to say we're not there yet. All right, so Captain Mike Moore, Vice President of the Pacific Shipping Association, he said we're taking it for granted. In what way? What specific ways are we taking this industry for granted?
Well, for so many people, they don't see it, or they see it just as they're passing by the cranes on the Alaskan Way Viaduct. The industry does not have the heft in Olympia that, say, Boeing does or Microsoft does. Part of that is the industry's own fault because they don't speak with one voice. We have a transportation bill that's been stillborn through successive legislatures. That transportation bill is absolutely essential to maintaining the freight corridors that we already have, and moving freight between rail yards and ports and from inland Washington into the ports where there's a lot of agricultural exports. The legislature just is doing nothing.
But at the same time, and this is more to Seattle, but it speaks to the larger issue, we have this whole push to bring in a stadium in that district, and those people in that area, the Maritime Industrial Council, have pushed back to try to say, look at us, this is an important industry. They are speaking with some voice, so why are they having trouble, rousing the legislators?
Well, if you knew the answer to that, we might get some progress. I think a lot of it has to do with Rodney Tom's ego.
Just saying.
I'm just saying, there goes his contribution. It's not an either or situation. It's a and both situation. I'm not sure that we have to say that we can't have a stadium in Soto. Maybe we should have it in another place. Certainly not out in the suburbs where there's not enough transit to get people there. And depending on the vote, there may be a lot less transit to get people there. But we do need to be mindful of maritime as we're making these decisions. There are some industrial landowners down there who say, hey, we want to cash out. We want to sell our land. Why are you preventing us from doing that by keeping this land as industrial? So once again, we come back to that, are we speaking with one voice? We don't want to become San Francisco in that its maritime industry pretty much moved over to Oakland, and Oakland is in danger of becoming a lesser port. We don't have to do that. We can have both.
But is there enough industry still to keep those industrial sites as industrial sites and as port-based, export-based, import-based sites? Is there enough business?
Absolutely. I mean, it's still here. Seattle is one of America's major ports. And in Seattle and Tacoma, we have natural deep-water ports. So the harbor maintenance tax is being used to dredge places like Savannah to take advantage of a wider Panama Canal when we already have these natural deep water ports right here with great rail connections.
You know, Prop 1 and the buses, let's switch gears. People say that the April 22nd vote, there's a lot at stake for Metro. There's also people saying Metro hasn't made enough cuts on this. What's at stake if Prop 1 passes or doesn't pass, in your opinion?
Well, you have an interesting divide between the east side and the city, not entirely on the east side. They don't speak with one voice on this. You have an interesting divide between urban values and suburban values, where the people who drive a lot think that they're not subsidized, that they somehow pay their way. The fact of the matter is that roads do not pay for themselves. The gasoline taxes do not pay for the roads alone. A lot of non-drivers subsidize drivers. We have armies and fleets in the Middle East to ensure low oil prices. So suburbia is heavily subsidized. A great city needs a great bus system. My colleagues on the editorial page think that much more needs to be done to reform Metro. I think that a great city needs to not cut a bunch of bus routes, especially where lower-income people need that to get to work. And the point comes back to what is constructive and what is destructive in this. That's what we need to think about.
Do you think fares could go up to capture more fare box revenue? That's what the critics are asking for.
They could. If you look at a study that the Transportation Department just put out, the U.S. Transpo Department just put out, fare box recovery around the country is not as high as it probably should be. And that may be something that we need to look at. But again, I go back to this, does it have to be either or? We need to retain these routes. We need to have the adequate funding. And we need to look at ways to get more money from the fare box. But no major transportation system pays its own way. Highways certainly don't.
No, fare boxes are going up. Fares are going to go up, and they're already pretty high, and they'll be higher. There will be in Prop 1 something for low-income folks to apply for. But fare box rates fares are pretty high at this point for a Metro bus trip. $3.25 it's going to get to.
It will, and it may get higher. And we have to remember that a big part of Prop 1 is also for highways.
40% in the unincorporated areas and in some of the other roads. All right, John, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
John Talton is economics columnist for the Seattle Times, joins us every other week to talk about economic issues. This is The Record.